couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics?
All right, Celtics fans, we are back with another episode of Boston Celtics Game Day Recap. I'm your host, Gotti Placido, and these Celtics beat the 76ers 117-99. The Celtics continue to roll. This was a fun game. Any game against Philly, the intensity is up. Even with Joel Embiid not playing, there was still a little bit more meaning to this game. Gonna dive into it, same as usual. Run through player of the game, run through some of the highs, some of the lows. To get things started here, I want to give player of the game to JB. This was a super efficient night. The only negative part to his game is the four turnovers. But as a team, the Celtics as a whole really just kind of struggled in that front. Jrue Holiday also had four. Derek White, two. Every other starter had one. Hauser, Pritchard, all of them, right? So turnovers was an issue. We'll talk about that. Jaylen Brown scored 31 points off of 14 shot attempts. 14. Got to the free throw line, 8 of 10 from there. Had 6 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal. But JB, from an offensive standpoint, was just unstoppable. And where did the majority of his points come from? At the rim, in transition, or from the free throw line, frankly, right? Obviously, 8 points there out of the 31. But this was a game where Jaylen Brown was so aggressive. So aggressive. He wasn't relying on a bunch of threes. And honestly, I can't really say that about anybody outside of Jason Tatum. Like, the Celtics as a team took 22 three-point shots. It's a horrible, horrible night from a Joe Mazzulla standpoint, right? From three-point line. Philly shot 14 of 42 from three. The Celtics, 5 for 22. There is such a massive discrepancy. And a lot of people have sat here and said the Celtics cannot win games if the three-point shot's not falling. Well, guess what? The three-point shot was not falling tonight. But the Celtics took advantage in every other way. Like, truly, though, Jaylen Brown in this game, to go have 31 points on 3 missed shots on the night is unbelievable. Unbelievable efficiency from him. So really solid overall game. But honestly, couple of just like massive, massive plays. Huge plays. Excellent save out of bounds right to Porzingis for the dunk to go up 14 and then hit a three right after that to go up 17. Had another really strong and one lefty finish to kind of ice the game. Go up 114-95. So Jaylen Brown, couple big buckets late. But if you look through and through, I mean, he had 12 points in the second quarter, and then another 7 in the third. Really good overall performance from him on both sides of the ball, right? Defensively, he clamped Tobias Harris a couple times. But overall, solid. He's not alone, right? Celtics big three in this game. Phenomenal games. Jason Tatum, again, I talked about him with the 1 of 7 from 3. Take that, throw it away. Still, phenomenal game. You could have given player of the game to JB, Jason Tatum, or Porzingis in this game, frankly. All three of them were outstanding. Jason Tatum, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. So, again, shot profile, wasn't a huge fan. It is what it is. Overall, I still think he was significantly more aggressive than he has been in the past. 1 of 7 from 3, obviously not great, but look at the rest of the stats here, right? 9 of 20, pretty good overall shooting percentage. You like it to be a little bit higher. Take away a couple threes, it's perfect, right? But got to the free throw line, 10 of 11 times there, right? Moved the ball really well, only one turnover. Jason Tatum, again, like if you look at the way that his game kind of progressed, he didn't really have a great scoring night in the first half. At halftime, had 12 points, 14 points actually after the third. So frankly, three quarters, he piled it on in the fourth quarter though. And not in a bad way. Like there have been times where I've said Jason Tatum kind of went out there and just got a bunch of garbage time points. This wasn't really one of those games. You know, yes, the Celtics did win by 18 points. And yes, some of Jason Tatum's points did come when it didn't matter. But the Celtics, their lead was only 2 points early on in this fourth quarter. Jason Tatum was a huge, huge part of the Celtics building that lead back up. So give all the credit in the world to Jason Tatum. Really good performance. Porzingis, really good performance. 23 points for him, 12 rebounds, another double-double. 12 for 12 from the free throw line. Unbelievable. You talk about mismatches a lot in this game. Porzingis is just taking advantage of every single mismatch possible. Without Embiid there, they didn't have a ton of answers for Porzingis. They were throwing Tobias Harris on him. They were throwing Batum on him. They threw out Bamba. They threw out as many people as they possibly could against Porzingis in this game. None of it worked. Porzingis either threw a little jab step, hit him with the mid-range, rolled off a screen, got a dunk, or just got to the free throw line over and over and over again. Porzingis is the absolute mismatch king. They talk about him on the broadcast a lot too. Like, he is having career numbers from the post. And I've talked about it on this podcast a lot. A lot of those post numbers are against mismatches. It's only happening because the Celtics have so much talent on their team that there's going to be a mismatch somewhere on the court at all times. Like, there are not, most teams in the NBA do not have five all-NBA level defenders, right? Like the Celtics do. But the Celtics have five guys on offense that can take advantage of mismatches all over the place, right? Porzingis, chief among them, right? He's the guy that if he has a mismatch in the post, you're done. If you have a Tyrese Maxey on you trying to cover Porzingis, he's toast. Porzingis has like an entire foot over him, and he's got the ability to put the ball on the floor as well as draw contact, but he's so efficient from the free throw line, and he's so efficient just shooting in general. Like, this wasn't his most efficient night. He was only 5 of 12 from the field, and I feel like that's the opposite of what I say about him more often than not. But this was a really solid overall game from Porzingis. Give him some credit. But a lot of these guys played really well. You know, Derek White, while the numbers off the stat sheet don't really jump out at you with only 6 points, he only took 6 field goal attempts, but the defense from him was unbelievable. Had 2 steals, 3 blocks, also had 6 rebounds, 6 assists. So it's not like he was a net negative on offense. But he had 2 monster contests on Tobias Harris. Huge, huge stops. One in transition, one just at the rim in general. Both of them led to buckets on the other end. He had a monster stop on Harris in transition and then got a dunk immediately in the third quarter, like right to start the third. But then had another great stop on Harris that led to a transition bucket for Tatum, right? So he's just doing everything. Defensively, Derek White is so versatile. He's so good. Those 3 blocks, I'll give him credit. Like, they all happened 6 minutes into this game. He didn't have another one through the last 3 quarters. But to have Derek White in 6 minutes have 3 blocks, it is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So good overall game from him. Jrue Holiday, great overall game. 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, 6 of 8 from the field. Right? So these are the things I'm talking about. Like, you need guys that can accentuate your stars, right? It's very clear. Like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those are our stars, right? Porzingis is right there. Like, he absolutely could be a 1C if you want to throw those numbers out there, numbers and letters out there, right? I've talked about Tatum being 1A, JB 1B. Throw in Porzingis, 1C, right? You need ancillary guys that can go out there, continue to move the ball, not be selfish, but take the right shots. And that is exactly what Jrue Holiday and Derek White have been all season long. Both of those guys are capable of going out getting 20-plus points on any given night. But they're coming in here, they're taking 8 shots and 6 shots, respectively. right? And they're impacting the game on both sides of the ball. And that is the reason the Celtics are just continuing to roll through teams. So overall, great from them. But again, not really it. Al Horford, 21 minutes tonight, was fantastic. 8 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, a block, a steal, 4 of 6 from the field. Couple great mismatches, couple great defensive stops. Al Horford doing a little bit of everything. You know, the Celtics did a lot of things really well today. A lot of things really well. Getting to the free throw line was one of them. The other thing, and this is the, I guess there's two, the two major reasons the Celtics just blew the doors off of Philly, especially late. Fast break points. Jaylen Brown, chief amongst them. He was the guy that was running constantly. 28 fast break points for the Celtics compared to 10 for Philly. And Philly likes to run. Tyrese Maxey, unbelievable in transition, right? Celtics outscoring him by 18 in the fast break. Again, no Joel Embiid in this, so points in the paint, another big advantage. Celtics outscored Philly 64-42 in the paint. Again, no Joel Embiid. Celtics were 34-37 from the free throw line. Philly, 11-12. So again, all of these numbers are 100% skewed with no Joel Embiid. Points in the paint would go down. The free throw disparity would absolutely change. But listen, you can only play against the rosters in front of you. And the Celtics did a really, really good job of capitalizing, especially down the stretch, right? The Celtics in that fourth quarter went on a 23-6 run over the last, 6 minutes. Well, I can't say the last 6 minutes. It was right before garbage time happened. So like 2 minutes left. So I don't know. 6 of the last 8 minutes, they went on a 23-6 run, right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable stretch of basketball for this team. But that's 25 straight home wins against the Eastern Conference. That spans an entire year, right? Celtics have now won 9 in a row, and they're just rolling teams. It's fun to watch. Listen, this game wasn't perfect. It was pretty damn fun. But it wasn't perfect. I want to talk about the negatives real quick. Before we do that, I want to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. If you're looking to buy or sell in the near future, meet Deb Burke, your trusted realtor at Compass Real Estate, serving Massachusetts and New Hampshire. With a passion for finding dream homes, Deb is committed to making your real estate journey a breeze. Whether you're buying or selling, Deb's got your back. Reach out today at 978-930-4621 or email deb.burke@compass.com to start your next chapter. Let's turn your real estate dreams into reality. Are you tired of insurance options that leave you feeling lost in the dark? Look no further than Joe Lyman of Brightway Insurance. Joe goes above and beyond to find the perfect coverage for you. So whether it's homeowners, renters, car, commercial, or even pet insurance, Joe will make sure you're protected where and when it matters most. Contact Joe at joe.lyman@brightwayinsurance.com today and let him brighten your path to peace of mind. So whether you're driving, working out, or just relaxing, make sure to check out Joe Lyman at Brightway Insurance. Brightway Insurance, your beacon in the world of insurance. Hey, Boston Celtics fans, are you ready to experience the thrill of an epic game at the TD Garden? Look no further than SeatGeek, your go-to source for the best Celtics tickets in town. With SeatGeek, finding the perfect seats to catch all the Celtics action has never been easier. From courtside to the nosebleeds, they've got it all, and they've got it at the best prices. Plus, they even rate every deal on a scale of 1 to 10 to help you find the best value. But here's the deal. When you use the special promo code VSN, you'll get an exclusive discount. So why pay more when you can use VSN and save on your Boston Celtics tickets? All right, so we can start here as far as negatives go. The three-point shot, I don't know what happened in this one. Again, with no Embiid, I guess, by all means, get to the rim as much as you want. But this is a season low in 3 points made and 3 points attempted. 5 of 22, 22% on the night. Horrible numbers. I don't know what happened. Again, Jason Tatum hasn't been the best three-point shooter, and he does take a lot of them, right? it is what it is. Not really going to complain too much about what Tatum does because Tatum does a lot of unbelievable things. But as a team, the Celtics really didn't go out and try to force too much. They had easy buckets at the rim. They took advantage. You would like to see the three-point numbers go up a little bit. I think 22 is 8 lower than the absolute minimum. I think the Celtics, at a minimum, should be shooting at least 30 three-point attempts. But this is a game, like, again, when you get to the, they got to the free throw line so many times. They only took 74 shots. That number is also insanely low, right? Philly, for comparison, 94 shots. And again, anytime you take a lot of free throws, the field goal number is going to go down, right? They don't count unless it goes in, right? So that number naturally is going to be lower. But the three-point number, like, they're not getting fouled on threes, at least not in this game. It certainly has happened to Tatum a bunch this season where he's getting fouled on his sidestep three. Didn't happen today. All of those free throws came from tough shots, contested at the rim, mid-range pull-ups, you name it, they got fouled doing it. So you would like to see a little bit more from beyond the arc. Some people are going to tell me I'm crazy and they like this type of basketball. This type of basketball is fine against a 76ers team that does not have Joel Embiid. But if you try to play this way against Joel Embiid, you're probably going to lose, right? Because all of those shots in the paint, right, are going to be a lot more contested. So you're not going to finish at the same rate. He's a good shot blocker, so you're not going to get to the free throw line as many times either. So all of those numbers start to come down a little bit. So you need a little bit more balanced of a game. Again, you play the roster that's in front of you. So given the roster that we played, this is a great win. This is a great game, right? The only other issue is really the turnovers, right? Turnovers, they did curb it a little bit at the end, but they ended the game with 14 turnovers. That, to me, big issue, right? Had 9 at halftime, so granted, it was only 5 in the second half, which, again, if you do that out over 4 quarters, it's only 10. Not the worst number in the world, right? So clearly, significantly worse in the beginning of this game. But this is just something that the Celtics cannot do against good teams because you let them get out in transition. And you give the Celtics a lot of credit, because honestly, even with all of these turnovers, I think they did a good job of trying to stop Philly getting out in transition, stop them getting easy buckets. I think all of the rotations back on defense were great. So there's a reason that the Celtics held Philly to just 99 points, even with the 14 turnovers that we had. You know, so overall, I mean, you look, this is a really good win, right? This is obviously a team that's missing an MVP caliber player in Joel Embiid, but you've got still a lot of guys on this team that are capable of hitting shots. Tobias Harris, who I have shit on endlessly, is still capable of going out and giving you 20 plus. Only had 13 tonight, 5 of 19, continues to really boost my agenda of him being the highest grossly overpaid player in the NBA outside of maybe Ben Simmons, right? But Tyrese Maxey is an absolute dog. He can go out, light it up. Buddy Hield, very capable of going out, giving you 20 plus, shooting a bunch of threes. The Celtics did a really, really good job defensively on him, and credit a lot of that to Derek White and Jrue Holiday. They were on him all night long. Kelly Oubre, another guy capable of going out and giving you 20, especially in an offense that doesn't have Embiid, right? Ball's going to be in his hands a little bit more. Only took 6 shots in this one. The Celtics did a great job defending all night long. And it's the reason that the Celtics, again, held Philly to under 100 points. That's been the threshold that I've been saying for the last 4 seasons at this point. If you hold a team under 100, you should win that game 99 times out of 100. Right? Really good performance overall. That's where we're going to wrap things up. Celtics improved to 46-12 on the season. Continue to stretch that lead in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland did win tonight. So Celtics now hold a 7.5 game lead over the Cavaliers. But Celtics are winners of 9 in a row, 9-1 in our last 10. So doing a hell of a job Celtics do have another 2 days off here. Their next game is Friday night against the Mavericks. Should be a fun game. Should be a fun game. Back against Kyrie. See what Luka can do. Always a fun matchup. That's where we're going to wrap things up for today. Have a great night, Celtics fans. We'll talk soon. You couldn't help it. I know you felt it. Green and white, white and green. Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we, the Celtics? Who are we?